and she is from Miracles Happen in Bethel, and her name is Amy. Good friend.
Hi, everybody. My name's Amy, and I'm an addict. My knees are shaking today, so I don't know why. Okay. Being asked to speak on the subject, intimacy and relationships, and when we first got the message about this on the telephone, my husband and I both were asked, and like I said, we should just put a big black cloud over that day, because like, I know we're going to be fighting by the time we get up there. And it hasn't happened yet, so it's good. It usually happens that way, at least. I think I spoke on something of this sort at one point, and it was like really bad that weekend. But anyway, I guess I'll start with like the relationships part. You know, actually, I honestly believe that I really didn't have any. I never really believed it was my fault in any relationships before I got into recovery. I always figured it was somebody else's fault. And so I can pretty much say that I didn't learn about owning my own part until I came into NA. My first relationship, really, that I believe has helped me in my relationship with my husband today is with the women. And coming around, you hear women stick with women and men stick with the men and stuff like that. And when I started to apply that and, you know, go out with women after the meetings or start to call them or something like that, it really made a difference. I remember the day that it made a difference was me and a friend of mine, we got into an argument over having a double shower for somebody. And I don't know if it was wedding or baby shower or what, but the coolest thing about it was that we're both in recovery, and what happened from that, it was like we didn't end up hating each other. Like it wasn't, like we were both like strong-willed and stuff like that, but we were able to disagree, and at least me, like it wasn't like I just totally shut her down and like walked away, and that was real good, because one of the things I learned that helped me in my addiction was like a clean break is the best break, you know, and because there's no splinters and everything, just walk away. Well, then I got clean, and man, did I like think, okay, like it's not working, like done, I'm out of here, you know. My biggest thing was you know, kind of like the God's will, self will thing. I had to learn like that if it wasn't going real well, it didn't mean it wasn't God's will. You know, okay, this isn't going real well, it's not God's will, I'm out of here. You know, it's like, it takes work. My sponsor, my very first sponsor was my very first relationship, and after coming in and out of the program for a while, trying to get clean and not being able to, I realized I had to find this person they call sponsor and trust that person no matter what, like go on blind faith and just trust her. So I got one who was like real far out of town from me, so she didn't really have to know me or see me at meetings, or I didn't have to see her. And I'll tell you what, she probably got to know me more than anybody else. And I chose to trust her. That has taught me about the intimacy part of like just living with other people is letting someone get to know me is kind of like my idea of like intimacy, and it's grown like through recovery, listening to like my inner voice, maybe, if you know, I was told, you know what, I don't have to open up to everybody, and I can like pick and choose, and so then that's how I still do it, you know. Let me think. for me to be intimate with someone, like, there's like, you have to earn trust. They have to earn my trust, and I have to earn theirs, you know, stuff like that. There's some people who just from the get-go, like, I feel it, you know, and I can feel like, man, connect. Like, my sponsor today, it's like, hearing her in a meeting one time, she just said something. It was just, it had to do, like, her husband and steak knives, and I could relate, okay? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, man. And we were just, like, becoming friends. And I thought, I want to ask her to be my sponsor, but I don't want to ruin the relationship, you know. But I did anyway. I took that risk. But, like, there are people who, or at least for me, I just know that it feels right. And so with recovery and all this stuff and staying clean, I've got married. And I always say this, and I... You know, and after I'm done saying it, it always comes out like, I hope it comes across right, that, like, I actually married a man that I like. And you know, and I wonder, like, well, did I ever say I loved him, you know? But it's, for me, it's like a real big deal, because what I was taught was, like, to ask myself, like, certain questions, like, at least in a man-woman relationship, if I was dating, like, do I like him? And I ended up dating someone, really dating, and every time, you know, like, I'd ask myself that question, do I like him? It was like, yes. And it was like, whoa. Because I would continue to go out with people and, like, ask myself that question and be like, no, not really. But again, it's like, you know, you know, why? You know, what was it that I was doing, you know? That was, like, really cool, because it was, like, one of those things, like, if there was any thing, like, immediately, if I wanted to change something about somebody, like, a major thing, it's like, I got to go. Like, that's not right. Like, dude, like, I don't want a project, you know, in my life. I want a relationship, and, like, I'll tell you what, because of people in NA and sharing honestly and all this stuff, I'll tell you, I am so grateful. And I know I could talk about other intimacy relationships, you know, God and everything else, but this is what's coming out. And it's like, we've been married 10 years this year, and we did date, and there's something else too that's pretty funny, because when I first started coming around, like, I had this idea of you know, dating and, like, getting to know somebody before we jumped into the bed and all that stuff. And, like, and I went to this meeting and I heard somebody speaking, and that's what they did, you know? And like, those people are still in my life today. And it was like, and that was something, it was a big deal for me. And when I met my husband, I didn't know he was going to be my husband at the time. Like, we both did that too. We just didn't want to go there. And it was, like, really cool. That was something for me. Kind of like, something else, like, I knew what I didn't want. Like, I had, like, lived with someone in my addiction, and even though I'm moving in and all that stuff, something inside me was saying, I really didn't want to do it, but it's supposed to be okay, you know, it's supposed to be okay. Well, that's supposed to be stuff, like, you know, like, intimacy to me is not like, okay, tell me everything about you, and I'll tell you everything about me, and you tell me, like, where your head goes in weird places, and, like, I love you anyway. Like, no, you can keep that. You know, that's not intimate, and I'm not going to go there. It's just, like, intimate, I think, is knowing my own boundaries and, like, who I let in and that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's a whole bunch of things all wrapped into one, and praying goes with it, like, praying for, like, God's will and guidance, and working on it still, like, with the women in my life. They helped me out big time, because kind of like they like me for who I am, I guess. I don't know, this is coming up, too, by intimacy. I have a stepdaughter and a stepson, and they're 19 and 17 now, and they're at their mother's, but they spent a lot of time, they lived with us, you know, all the way up to last year. My stepson went and lived with his mom, and through this like relationships and having relationships of like younger people in my life, like they might be in their 20s or such. I see these people, man, I love them unconditionally, and they're, you know, getting clean or like they're just in my life or whatever. And it really, if I like apply this stuff to my life, like I look at it, and I do this with my younger two kids that are 6 and 3, like, why do I get judgmental with these guys and not with the ones who I consider my friends, you know? And as far as these relationships go with my kids and my stepkids, because the other people put in my life, it's helped me to look at that relationship that I have with my kids, that I can let go a little bit and let them kind of be human and not try to be like, you know, the whatever, disciplinarian or the, well, you should act like this type thing, especially with the older ones, because they're like adults, you know, and so that has like, I mean, if I keep my eyes open to it, everything that comes into my life can enhance other parts of my life if I'm open to it. Try not to get too like out there, like cosmic, whatever, but that's what I do, you know. I really believe that, and so other relationships help me in my more intimate relationships. And I'll keep this, well, real short, I guess. But yeah, because you got Timmy G. I'm so glad I spoke first, because I'm like, oh man, you know, like, because I can separate. Like, he's my husband, but he's also a pretty good speaker. And I'm like, before we talk, I'm like, well, Tim, maybe you ought to go first, because, you know, because I'm such a good speaker, and like, I don't want to, like, you have to follow me and stuff, you know. But like, and that's another thing. Like, I can, like, that's something I have today. It was only given to me through learning how to, like, to take a chance and, like, be honest and live honestly. And I have this life today with, like, a man who I want to be with. Not that I need to be with, like, desperate, oh, God, you know. And like, when we were falling in love and all that stuff, like, Adam was like, oh, man, I want to share 2 lifetimes with you, and telling him stuff like that. And, like, I still feel that way today. And we have been through, like, a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, you know, like, just, heck, just 2 recovering addicts together, you know, like, sticking it out, and children, and his children, and then our children, and the rest of our family. We have like these, who's winning and whose family's like the worst or the craziest, you know, and his is right now, although he'll say it's mine is. But and taking a risk and saying this stuff out loud, even like, I probably last year I wouldn't have said it because of some type of fear or some type of thing that like, like, oh, if I say it, I'll jinx it, you know? And my relationship with, like, my higher power has grown so much over the past year or maybe even a little bit more, where, like, I'm not afraid of that stuff. I'm not afraid of jinxing it, where I could say, like that, you know, no, I don't want to lose this relationship, but I, man, like, I am so fortunate with, I don't know. It's just, like, it's just really, really cool. And the thing is, I know, because everybody changes, and you don't know what's coming down the pike. For now, this is so good. And, like, maybe 2 years from now, I'll be like, oh, we're getting divorced, and, yeah, I hate him, she hates me, all this stuff. I don't know. I hope it doesn't get that way, because, but so far, man, we're like in sync, and like, that's cool. And then the other thing too, I learned about, like, man woman relationships, is when you're not in sync, don't just do the clean break, like cut and run. I had to learn that, because that was me. Like, okay, I'm gonna go sell T-shirts on the beach, you know, and like, and I, you know, and I had to work on that. Give it really a good 7 days. Like, that's what somebody told me once. Like, give it 7 days, like, in, like, before you make any decisions. Like, being a woman, another thing, like, see where I'm at in the month. I'm serious. It's like, that's another thing. Like, women, does stick together. Like, we can remember that stuff. Guys don't remember that, although my husband does. He, like, looks at the calendar, but then he knows not to say it if I'm there, you know, because that's, like, the worst he could do. Like, you do happen to be having PMS, and it's like, you know, so, but just, like, you know, realize, I mean, guys go through their own cycles. There's another thing about them, at least to me, it's like, it's, you know, not every 30 days or anything. You just don't know when theirs is going to happen. you just hope it's not happening the same time as yours. But, you know, just learning all this stuff and then the steps. I mean, come on, like, that really, like, when I work these steps, or at least, like, you know, just, like, first step, like, backing up and saying, like, I'm powerless over him or, like, the kids or my friends, if they're, like, you know, in their own space, like, really, there's nothing I can do about how somebody else thinks or how they're feeling. Like, and sometimes I just got to back off and let them go, you know? And with my, in my intimate relationship with my husband, like, that's, I learned to do that, too. Like, when he's, like, not doing what my husband should be doing stuff, I got to, like, go, whoa, like, back off. Like, remember, he's like Tim. He's just a person. He's not supposed to be doing anything, because that's the stuff that's, you know, screwed me all up, you know? And, like, when I can get back to that level, one thing that threw me into it one time was, like, we were making this big decision, and it was with his help. And I can say that today. I can give him credit, you know, where credit's due, where before, like, even in our relationship, I wouldn't give him too much credit. I was too afraid, you know? But, like, I don't know what it was, but we're looking at each other trying to make this major decision. He goes, you know what, Amy? Like, I don't know, this is my first time around, too. Like, meaning my first time around in life. And like, where I come from, it just seemed like the society, kind of like the guy makes all the decisions type thing. And when I was small, my dad always made, like, the final decisions. And that's kind of sucks. If it was me, and, like, and then if something went wrong, you know, I'd take the heat. And if it's on men all the time or something like that. So, like, that was something else I learned in here. And, I mean, like, other people might know that coming in. I didn't. I didn't know that kind of stuff. It took me some, like, I don't know, some waking up, some coming to, like, just, like, figure that other people, like, had, like, lives or something, and it wasn't all about me. And the unconditional part that I learned here, I always knew that there was, like, this unconditional thing in the world, you know. I believed that way before, like, I believed that as a kid. And then coming here kind of helped me to apply it. So then when I do, like, claim ownership either to a friend, to, you know, my husband or the kids, especially because they're the kids, you know, I can, like, back up and, I guess, third step it and turn it over and, like, and really be a part of their lives instead of, like, this thing that I think I'm supposed to be. But I want to thank you for asking me to speak here today. And that's about all I have.
Okay, as they say, there's two sides to every story, and I think we're going to hear the second side of the story here. I'd like to introduce Kenny G from the Friday Night McMurray Group.
Hi, my name's Tim, and I'm the project. I'm an addict. I took some notes on my wife's talk, and I'm here for the rebuttal. It always seems like a good idea to say yes when somebody says, would you like to come and share? Then you come up here and you think, what's the matter with me? Why did I do this? I should be sharing on, nothing. I should shut up. I should listen. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was telling somebody earlier, I shared on relationships at the Start to Live convention, a workshop with my sponsor's wife, And it was a complete riot. We just had a blast because my sponsor's wife is clinically insane. And by the pure fact that my sponsor remains with her and doesn't beat her, he is also clinically insane. And she would always say to me, why do you want him as your sponsor? And I'd say, he hasn't killed you. Because if anybody knows Roz, the line to kill her is so long, I mean, you got to get way back there. But I love her. You know, when we shared at that Start to Live convention, I was kind of nervous, and I said, well, it's relationships. I mean, that could really be anything. You know, relationship with a sponsor, relationship with a higher power, relationship with other people in Narcotics Anonymous, even relationships with my family, relationships with people who are, you know, not in recovery, people that I work with. What should I share on? And the convention people said, well, you know everybody's coming about, like, man-woman relationships, so don't share about any of that other stuff. And I said, well, wait a minute. What about all these tape committees and all this crap where you got to submit a tape and you got to say exactly what you said on the tape? What happened to God's will? So I'm here to tell you that I'm here to talk about raw sex. I'm talking Wesson oil, farm animals, chandeliers, whipped cream. Because what my wife did not... What my wife did not say is she took one look at me and said, oh, ride me like the cowboy, stud you up. And I said, hold on a second there. I'm just not another piece of meat. I have feelings. Here I am with a bunch of clean time, going to a lot of meetings, have a sponsor, working steps, and I got to tell you, my little head sometimes still guides me around more than my big head does, and that is particularly true with my own wife. I've shared on love and lust before, and I don't know what in hell the difference is. And you know, like my wife, what first attracted me to you was it my personality? Well, I could see your ass. I didn't know you had a personality. I didn't know you were spiritual and you worked a good program. I didn't know any of that. And she's like, that's disgusting. Guys, are we not visual people? Yeah. And what did my personality? I don't know. Look at your pockets. This is a good thing. Well. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm sorry if I gave away the secret, guys, but they already knew this anyway. Yeah, it was my spirit. We were kindred. No, you had a nice ass. I, because I'm an idiot, did lose exactly what I had gotten off the computer because, you know what? I learned in working steps that sometimes I think I know what something means. And to me, it means a certain thing until I go and I look it up. And all of a sudden, I find out, whoa, I'm way off here. So what I did was I went and I looked up what impotency really meant. What it says here is, don't you hate dictionaries? The state of being intimate. How is that? Oh, it's clear now. I'm intimate with this podium. Says close familiarity or association, nearness and friendship, close or warm friendship. But it also says a usually secretive or illicit sexual relationship. See, the tape can't get this. Anybody listening to this, you don't know what I just did, and it's gross. Okay. See, based on that definition, it can mean a lot of different things, but my initial idea of what intimacy meant was only applying to physical intimacy. That's all it was. And I didn't know anything else until I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And you know what? I didn't get this from other people in NA, through the steps, through the basic text, or anything. I got it through, I guess, an awakening of the spirit when I found out that if I want to be a human and be clean and work this program, I also have to treat everybody else like a human that's trying to work a program, too. I've got to give everybody a chance. And there were many times that I spoke where I publicly gave amends to women for what I did. And I couldn't name them all because I just can't name them all. You know, that one with the black hair that, you know, had the dog. The dog was not involved, although he watched. That's why dogs can't. But what I realized was, and this was even early on in recovery, was that I'm powerless over my addiction. And for a long time, all I had really thought was, when you read in the steps, we're powerless over our addiction, our lysogenic image, what I heard was powerless over dope, powerless over heroin, powerless over cocaine, powerless this and that. And I didn't realize that addiction could include so many things. And what I found out early on was that I was using women the exact same way that I used dope. I was using them. I was going to cop them. I was getting off on them. And then I was going to go cop another one. And I'm not proud to admit that. It's just kind of the path that I chose or the path that I went down. And I'd say for lack of knowledge, but I had plenty of people around me that were saying, you better not do that, you shouldn't do that. But I had to get hurt a couple times, and I had to be humiliated a couple of times before I realized that I can use women the same way that I use dope. And that if my behavior is the same when I'm trying to cop a woman and do a woman, say if I start to con, manipulate, cheat, connive, blah, and that's the same behavior I had when I was using them. If that behavior is the same, and I don't have the dope in me and I'm substituting women for them, how far away is it till my real drug of choice comes back in me? Then it's all gone. So, you know, it got to the point where I realized that although my little head really wanted some action because I had a lot of lost time to make up for, you know, anybody that did any amount of cocaine for a number of years knows that after a while, your penis completely disappears from your body. And, you know, you're thinking, oh, this will enhance my sexual performance. You know, when the truth is, if you put, like, naked playgirls in front of me and a pile of dope on the other side, guess where I'm going? I'm going to the dope. Hopefully, I'm going to come back in a second. You know, heroin, you can come back in a second. With cocaine, you can't come back. You can't. Well, you can't come back because you know they're coming to get you. I always laugh, that whole window patrol. My friend Scott sitting over here said, yeah, I'd do coke in a tent. I was on, like, flap patrol. So I'm in all these relationships and doing all this stuff, and you know, I finally, I'm going to meetings. Here's how sick I am. I'm going to meetings, and I'm waiting for clean time because I will not break the Narcotics Anonymous cardinal rule. I will wait until you have the one-year key tag, otherwise known as the license to love, and I will not hit on you if you... Now, I'm going to make a note if you've got 9 months. Because I'll come back in 3 months, and if you're still standing up, okay, we got a shot. Well, I'm living in the Beaver Valley, and... with a couple lesbians... What can I tell you? I'm hitting on girls, and you remember those guys out there. Oh, here you are, Mr. coming out to the Beaver Valley, hitting on all that women! And it's tough enough trying to get a woman, and then you take them home, and you're living with a couple of gay women, and, you know, they want her, too. And all you hear is, like, batteries going on, and... What are they doing over there? Nothing. Don't even say anything. So So I end up going on, yeah, there's something wrong with me. So I end up, like, kind of trying to spread myself around because I am me. And, yeah, God's gift to women. And I'm going out and I end up starting to hit on my wife. I don't want any relationships. I'm not interested. So I let her simmer for a little while. Because then she can't get back up here now, but she wanted me. So after, there's no comments after the meeting. Oh, sure, your attorney and sponsor has to speak up for you. Get out of here, Agnes. So at any rate, I end up, you know, calling her a couple times she turned me on, and then like an idiot, I call her one day, and I said, come on, let's just go out and have dinner. It's not like I want to marry you or anything. And I didn't, because I wanted to, you know. Well, that's what I wanted. So we go out on the first night, she cards me. Doesn't believe how old I am. Oh, you have any ID? What the hell is this? You know, this is a date. I thought we were going to at least get feel up stuff or something. I don't know. And we end up not, well, we. I end up not getting laid. Now, see, to me, I figure if I go out with you three times and I'm not sleeping with you, it's what Amy was talking about before. It's cut and run. Move on. There's plenty of fish in the sea. So, for some reason, I kind of liked her. I still wanted to get in her pants really, really bad. That is, I got to be honest about that. That, it made her cry too. Not even a bottle worked. I offered to change her. Nothing. So, so we ended up doing something that I never did in a relationship before. We talked. Go figure. And we talked about a lot of stuff. And, you know, she says she doesn't want to go all cosmic on people, but she is so friggin' cosmic. Hey, you see this watch? There's ions moving around in there right now. Everything is in constant and I'm listening to her thinking, I got to do dope now. Driving me nuts. But you know what? We ended up becoming friends. And we even talk about this thing. One night she's out where in the Beaver Valley where I'm living, and it's real snowy and she can't drive home, so she stays in the house that I'm living in with the lesbians in the bed with me, and we talked about it and said, I told her. And I was real honest at this point because I was telling on my disease. And what I was telling her was, look, every time I've ever been in a relationship, it's never worked out. And I got to figure every time I've ever been in a relationship, it has started sexually first, and we never became friends. We never got intimate first. We never got that friendship. So I don't want to do this. That's what I said. Inside. I'm just being honest, and the tape couldn't see that either. So, like, the whole night, we wake up the next morning, and I turn over and I say, oh, by the way, just so you know this, I am not gay. Well, you know, eventually, but not before we became friends. And she somehow tricked me into liking her. And, oh, it's her fault. And all of you, it's all your fault. Oh, you think it isn't. But, yeah, I ended up, I guess we dated and saw each other for, what, 2 years, 2.5 years or something before we got married? And it was like no other relationship I ever had because I never approached it like that before. And right now I would not change a thing. Okay, there's a lot that I would change right now. The whole skydiving thing, I would change that right away. We were driving up here today, and it's the first time in a long time that we haven't had kids all around us, all over us. And it was weird because here we get in the van, we've got all day, we've got the kids, somebody's watching them till 9 tonight. And she says, this is great, this is like when we were first dating, and it's no kids around. And I said, we're going to have to, like, talk, communicate and stuff. So the whole way up, all she did, blah, 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 blah. Yes, it's the 1 through 6 chakra, and, you know, you have to have this beads, and I'm reading K-Tech and all this prep. And to heal Gabron, you know, I'm getting sick because she's driving. And I've learned that intimacy is being okay with who I am in front of her and trusting that no matter how I am, she'll accept me for who I am. And I learned that works the opposite way, too. I also learned since being married, and it's been, yeah, it's been 10 years. And 10, that's the paper anniversary, isn't it? Diamond, yeah, here's Diamond. Kiss my jeweler's ass, Diamond. See, that's intimate. That's intimate. My wife sponsored her husband defined intimacy as being able to be in the bathroom while your other partner is taking a shit. And I'm not even going to mention Dennis H.'s name. I won't even say that because that's it. But it's things like that that she's allowed to get up and be gross in the morning. Not that she is, because she's beautiful all the time. And, you know, I'm allowed to walk around the house and fart. Like, I have a choice. You're killing the children! It's poisoning them! We need a big suction fan! And we're getting you Beano. Sorry, that might be an outside enterprise. I have, as goofy as this sounds, I'm kind of goofy. This is the single hardest thing I've had to do since I've been in recovery. Compared to just not picking up the first one, that's easy. This being in a relationship, being open and honest and all that stuff, man, this is the most difficult thing I've had to do. And we have been through a lot. And she says, I'm a cut and run kind of person. You know, I have proof she's a cut and run. I have a picture of her with our now 6-year-old. It's a picture that she took in the mirror of a hotel, you know, to prove that she said, get him out of here! And, you know, remember when you did that? The hell were you thinking? You better leave this house! No! Maybe we'd be better off if I live in a hotel. Yeah, great. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. I should have brought that picture and passed it around to this group just so they can see it. And all you see is a flash, and my kid is crying and probably saying, where's Dad? But I've learned this relationship thing is about being honest, but not being honest all the time. I can't be. Now, every guy in here has heard this question. Do I look fat in these? Let me tell you something. I don't know if you know what the answer to this is, but I'm going to tell you at least what works for me. No, Twiggy. You skinny, you pencil. Look, you need a donut, a sandwich, something. Eat something. Hurry up. My God, you're waiting. You turned around. You disappeared. Where did you go? Our relationship is so good, she knows that I'm full of shit and I'm lying. But she says, go ahead, give me more, give me more, give me more. How does my hair look when I make it flat? Good. Now the flat hair, what is this? I come home once every 2 weeks, her hair's a different color. I have no idea if I'm even with my same first original wife. How does this look? It looks great. It looks sexy. Oh, my God. Let's go to bed now. And the whole sexual part of our relationship is good, and it's great, and it's changed, and it's all these things, but that's not where we need to work. We need to work on communication. Because quite frankly, and all you women know this, we have no idea what you're ever talking about. You know, you think you're saying stuff to us, but see, you have it's in your head. And you think we're picking up your brainwaves, and we don't know what in the hell you mean. Let me tell you when we will. Never. You have to give us very specific directions. Write it down. No, you have different meanings for all kinds of different things. See, you have words that mean every different meaning you could. So, how are you feeling today? Fine. Well, fine could mean really okay. Fine could mean I hate you, you bastard. Fine could mean I'm going to kill one of the children. Fine could mean you lazy bastard, you forgot to scoop the dog poop in the back door. I don't know what fine means. I'm not Kreskin over here trying to interpret your personality and the voice inflection and the way you said it and where the accent is. Yeah. You know, most of you guys will admit it with me, won't you?
Yeah.
We're not that smart. We need direction. Now, secretly, we're much smarter than you. Because we never say we're much smarter than you. We know it. We don't say it out loud. Okay, we did it today. I'm not getting laid tonight. Who didn't know that? Marriage has absolutely changed our relationship. Amy stood up here and said, I don't want to say anything, you know, because I might jinx it. And I think the same thing, too, sometimes. But it's changed it for the better because it's actually forced us to work through things. And I should also tell you that when we first started dating, guess what we both had? Over a year clean. Thank you and good night. No, and the only reason we did is she took advice from the women she was hanging around with. I took advice from the guys that I was Freudian slip, excuse me. I took advice from the guys, and they said, this is a good idea. Take a year. Work on yourself. Get okay with yourself. How are you supposed to have a relationship with anybody until you can have a relationship with yourself, with your God, with your sponsor, with other people in the program, with the we of the program? How are you supposed to do this? Because when I came into the rooms, I didn't know anything about relationships. I was in tons of them. None of them were intimate. All of them were about either sex or dope or both. Okay, so they were all about both. Or, you know, a woman who didn't use, who had money, who would give you money so you could use more, you didn't have to share. So it was all a learning experience. And the first real relationship I had is a woman that I'm still married to this day. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. If she worked steps a little more, it'd be a lot better. We joke around about this stuff because sometimes it's, you know, she is perfectly willing to take a searching and fearless moral inventory of me and then share it with God herself and any other human being who would listen. Now, fortunately, she's not on Action News doing this, but she's got problems with me and what I'm doing. She gets PO'd. You know what? I know what I do when I get PO'd with her. I've learned. I kick it out in meetings. I talk to my sponsor about it. I kick it out with the first people that I'm close with. And I've learned that if I do that first, it diffuses my emotions. It makes my feelings separate because I have to keep remembering. I'm married to another recovering addict, and a lot of times I am guilty of not treating her like just another addict. I'm not giving her the same break that I'd give some rank newcomer standing up for 24 hours clean with shit in his pants. That's a guy I'm hugging, I'm buying food with, I'm understanding, I'm doing this. And sometimes I lose sight of the fact that I have to do that with my own wife because she's also another recovering addict. Now, that said, I don't do that too often. I try to do this to the best of my ability. And sometimes I fall short, as I'm sure she'd admit she does. We, We do, but you know what we've, you know what's helped our relationship more than anything else? We know how to fight. And some people are probably thinking, are you completely nuts? No, we know how to fight. Not that we have written ground rules or we bring in referees, which, you know, sometimes probably wouldn't be too bad. That death cage match thing, that's no good anymore. But we've learned to use steps in our relationship. And we've learned, look, my life gets unmanageable. Never. Except when I'm trying to exert power over her, the things she does, the things she says, the way she feels, and I've got to step back. I got to remember how insane it's been in the past when I haven't let a power greater than me restore me to sanity. I got to step back and take a look at that. I've got to bounce it off of some of my friends first. Because if I go straight at it, no, I got to retreat. I got to remember that really in the big picture, all it really comes down to is me getting out of my own way. And then turning everything over to the God of my own understanding. As long as I can do, and sometimes we'll be talking and she'll hear me going through this stuff. Because she'll go, in a fight, she'll say, quit working those steps on me. And I don't say that to her, but she's working them back on me. Yeah, that's promotion, not attraction. You're not carrying a message. If you are, it's like not in Tupperware because it's leaking out everywhere. Smartest thing I've ever done in this relationship is to realize I'm not that smart at relationships. And to realize that every day is new and that I don't know anything more about this crap than anybody else standing in here. Yeah. We got 10 years in, well, we got 12 and a half years in this relationship, 10 years married. Does that mean we've got a perfect relationship? There's people that know me. Yeah, no, it's not perfect. And we fight. I can't believe I sponsor a guy. He comes over one day and we're like yapping at each other. And this guy's standing there, he's got 4 years clean. He goes, I can't believe it. You guys fought. I go, fought. I'm taking the bitch down. He was shocked. They said, what are you so shocked about? You know what? Get me off of that stupid pedestal you have. I'm just an addict trying to stay clean one day at a time. I got as much time as I got from the time I woke up in the morning. And this relationship is pretty much the same thing. It's one day at a time. If I practice the spiritual principles of this program in my relationship, why can't that be as successful as the clean time that I have, as the, you know, the feelings that I have over this? It's just that part where I can't separate sometimes that she's just another addict trying to stay clean. I expect her to be more. It's not fair to expect more. I know because she expects more of me all the time. You know, and my friends aren't helping out. Thanks a lot, Joe. We're with some other married couples, also both recovering addicts, and he says, well, you know, she's got the job, I got the kids, and then I cleaned up the whole house, and I cut all the grass, and I got on my hands and knees, and I scrubbed the floor, and I cleaned the toilets, and my wife's going, and she looks at me, and I said, I'm not doing that. Everybody's different. I don't do that. That's why God invented the yellow pages, okay? You call people, that's not my thing, that's not what I do. According to my six-year-old, apparently what I do is sit around in my bathtub drinking iced tea, watching television. Dad, why is that all you do? That's why she didn't make the trip. She's currently duct-taped in her room. She's watching reruns of the same Barney episode over and over. Horror tubes. I wish that I could say, you know what, here's the key. Here it is. Unlock the door. You'll know all about intimacy and relationships. No, I don't have it. I will say that I guess I do have it, but I can't even explain it because it's between my wife and I. It's between us. I'd like to try and share it. Maybe through this we share something. And if you didn't hear anything you can use, you know, go forth and screw. Or if you didn't hear anything you can use, keep coming back. Maybe you will. There's plenty of us out there. Who in here doesn't have problems with relationships? Who in here doesn't think that, you know, relationships cause people to go out all the time? You know, use and at somebody. I'll show her, I'll screw me up. Then she'll see. Yeah. My wife says I want to live two lifetimes with her. I'm down to about a lifetime and a half. But that had to do with the way I drove the van and I got sick, but that's a little different. We're going to really test our relationship here pretty soon because we're going to be out of the country for 6 months on an island by ourselves with a couple of little kids and people who we'll probably need translators to even talk to, and it'll just be us. But what we found out, and this is probably the greatest clue I can give you in relationships when you're talking to your significant other, if you talk about others who are worse than you, this will make you feel a lot better. Because look around these rooms. How many more screwed up people are you than you? There's tons of them. They're all over the place. And when you get through that and realize what you're doing, because I do that and realize what I'm doing, then I got to do the 10th and I got to make amends. Then we get back to us and try and focus on us and do the best we can. And so far, just for today, we didn't pick up. Neither one of us are high, although she's taken a lot more pain medication than I have. You think this is okay? Here we go, loop-de-loop. Yeah. It's cool, calling each other on our stuff. It's to the point where I guess I probably respect her calling me on my stuff more than anybody else, and it's simply because she knows me the best. I won't admit that usually to her because, you know, what does she know? She's just a woman. She's just my wife. I don't want to admit that, but it's the truth. And I'll tell you one other thing, and I'll stop this insanity. And that is, I've been clean for a few years now, and I've ran into a lot of people in recovery. There's a whole bunch of people here today, and I really respect some of the recovery. And I'm talking about, I respect people, their recovery that have a year or 25 years, 2 months. I really respect them for what they do. But I got to be honest, I respect my wife's recovery more than anything else. I truly do because she has to live with me. Thanks.
Okay, we have a few minutes left today. Anybody like to make any comments or anything? Rebuttals? Any rebuttals? Thanks, Aggie. Anybody else? Hey, John.
Spend time with the children, with the work, really seen each other and so forth. And I want to go at her and stop her from being responsible to our family. And not to look at the fact that she's allowing me to continue my process with giving back to $9,000. Oh my God. That's a special thing that she lets me run. She don't judge me about it. She lets me run. Any day and age, she lets me run.
Anybody else? Can we please have the reading just for today from the podium, please?
My name is John, and I'm an addict.
Hey, John.
Tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in somebody in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and have found a new way of life. So long as I follow their way, I have nothing to fear.
Can we please form a circle here and close the meeting with the wee version of the Serenity Prayer?
Thanks, Ben.
Here's my. Amy, you want to take a phone?
Wait a minute.
I like that man took the limit, you know what I mean?
After that 2:45 meeting, I, you know, I had to rest.
That's it. But see, tomorrow's my day, then. I'll be with the kid tomorrow. She's got to do something for work.
Yeah.